So Minister Fabius, welcome, and over to you.
Merci beaucoup.
I will try to speak English, and I hope that you will forgive my pidgin English, but I think it's probably easier if I speak English. Well, thank you first so much to welcome me in this magnificent setting. I don't know if it is typically Hong Kong or French, but it's beautiful anyway. I am here for 2 days, therefore it's very short. Tonight I will leave for Japan, where I shall be tomorrow and have a meeting with my counterpart and with Prime Minister Abe. I was with President Hollande in Beijing 10 days ago, and then 20 days ago to prepare the visit. Therefore, it means that French government is particularly keen about developing its relationship with Asia. Here in Hong Kong, the aim of my visit is to develop our relations, already excellent, between Hong Kong and France. To develop it in several domains, obviously economic ties. We are present here in many sectors, and we intend to develop our presence in other sectors, and the other way around as well. We want to have more and more presence of Hong Kong investments, Hong Kong people in France, and to develop our cooperation in the different domains. We want to develop our cultural links as well. I will open officially the French May this afternoon, which has become a traditional opportunity for many people to get in touch with French culture. And I've been told that now we have 300,000 people involved in French May. And yesterday I was giving a special award to the film director Wong Kar-wai, who is famous both in Hong Kong and in France as well. And I've told him that French people were in the mood for love when he was concerned. And I want to develop as well the administrative and political ties with Hong Kong. And this afternoon I would meet with your chief executive and with Yam number two, and to insist on a greater mutual presence of youngster. And I will sign an agreement about what is called a working holiday agreement, a program of exchanging youngster between Hong Kong and France. Therefore, all in all, we're already present in Hong Kong. There are more than 15,000 Frenchmen here, more than 750 companies. If you want to have a comparison, I think there are something that like 3,000 German people, 2,500 Italian people, and more than 15,000 French people. Very famous brands, great investments, and we intend to develop that. And we have full confidence in the future of Hong Kong, which for us is an example of what can be done in Asia. These are my introductory remarks, and I'm all yours, prepared to any question.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. So we have a microphone around the room. If you raise your hand and also tell us your name and which organization you're from, who would like to start off? Francis.
Francis Moriarty, RTHK. Minister, I would like to know what your reaction is, the reaction of your government, to the Israeli attack on the facility in Syria, and whether you think this is, as some people have suggested, the opening act in what will be ultimately some form of military intervention in Syria.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The situation in Syria is a real tragedy. What are the facts? Probably 100,000 people have been killed. You have millions of people who have been displaced, wounded. And it's a tragedy not only in Syria, but also in the surrounding countries. I mean Jordan, I mean Lebanon, I mean Turkey, Iraq. And it's no longer a local drama, but a regional tragedy. And if it keeps on that way, not only we shall have a human disaster, but a political disaster, and peace in that region will be at risk. Therefore, with the Iranian case, these are probably the two major, and there are relationships between the two. This is the most worrisome problem that we have. Now what can we do? And then I will speak about Israel. We must try and achieve a political solution. That is the aim. You may remember that last year some of us have met in Geneva, and we have achieved a Geneva Agreement. It was in June or July last year. And unfortunately, the interpretation of the Geneva communique, and I was one of the writers, was not the same on the Russian side and on our side. And therefore, it has not been possible to achieve a political solution. But our intention as Frenchmen, permanent member of the Security Council, is to go back and to try and get a political solution. Now, how can we do that? We are in continuous discussion with Russians. We are urging our American friends to be more involved in this question. And we are, Frenchmen, great supporters of the Syrian National Coalition. We have been the first country to recognize them, and we are urging them to enlarge, to be more united, and to insist on the necessity of a political solution, which means to be open to some elements of the regime of Bashar, and to try and get a transitional government, which was indicated in the Geneva communique. I was saying that if the situation, the tragical situation, keeps on, it could be a political and an international and human disaster. Moreover, we have elements, not real proofs, but elements, indicated that there has been use of chemical weapons as well. And we, Frenchmen, with our British friends, we have asked to the Security Council to convey, to have an inquiry in Syria about the possible use of chemical weapons. Unfortunately, the Syrian authorities have refused that, which is an element showing that there is a very likely possibility of having used these chemical weapons. And now more and more foreign elements are present in this tragedy. You have the Russians, which are giving weapons. You have the Iranian, who are giving weapons, and probably more than weapons. You have the Hezbollah from Lebanon, close to Israel. And on the other side, you have Arabic countries. And in this context, Israel has said that if weapons were to be given to Hezbollah, they will react. Obviously, it's both something that one can understand, and at the same time, it's a risk. Because if more, and if the situation and the conflict extends itself to the surrounding countries, the nature of the conflict can be changed. Therefore, related to that, there is only one solution, is to get back to a political solution. And we, French, ask now to the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, himself, to be directly involved in this situation and to make his utmost effort in order to get back to the political solution. We are prepared to that. I have already said to you that we are discussing with different parts, different members, different elements, but once more, it's an urgency signal, because if we don't come back to this solution, the situation can become worse and worse, with a great danger to the whole region. Thank you.
I'd like to intercede with a question of my own, but before going out again. You mentioned the French May, and it used to be that once a year there'd be a big cultural festival around France, but now we are seeing a steady stream of French ministers coming through Hong Kong and more French presence in China, at least on the visiting front. We've heard a lot about the U.S. pivot to Asia. Is this, in a sense, a French or a European pivot to Asia in terms of greater interest in North Asia in particular?
Thank you. Asia in general, and China in particular, is a decisive element of our diplomacy. It's clear. Why? First, because of the growing importance of Asia as a whole, and particularly China, in the overall context, in and particularly in the economic field. Now, China has become the second economy in the world. Japan is the third. And when you add the different elements, Korea and many other elements, it's a decisive factor in the economy of the world. Not only decisive, but it's one of the sectors in which there is a highest growth, and we, I mean European, and we Frenchmen need growth. And therefore we have to look at growth and to find growth where it lies, and it lies in particular in Asia, and in particular in China. We have been present for a long time in China, but in different sectors, culture, economy, political relationship, but I would say not enough. Let's take the example of China, and particularly mainland China. We have been present for many years in two sectors, nuclear energy and aircraft industry. That's good, that's excellent, and we have the intention to keep on. But now we have to be more present in different sectors, such as luxury goods, agricultural goods, services, health, sustainable development, green technology, where we are excellent, and many other sectors. And as you know, French President has been visiting the Chinese President 10 days ago. He was the first Western head of state to be invited officially. He paid a visit state, and we have decided to increase our relationship. And what is true with mainland China is true with Hong Kong too, with a different element. We have a large deficit with mainland China, and we have a surplus with Hong Kong. And our intention is to reduce the deficit with mainland China and to develop the surplus, if it is possible, with Hong Kong. But on the other way, to develop Chinese presence in France as well. We need and we want Chinese investment, Chinese presence. We have said, and I am saying today, that we are quite open to Hong Kong investments and Chinese investments. And it's not only an economic necessity, it's also important in terms of culture, because we are both countries of great culture, we have good relationship, we are very much interested in your culture, and you are interested in our culture, and French May is an example of that. But not only that, the exchanges of youngster, the exchanges of tourism. You have already 200,000 Hong Kong people coming from tourism in France. 1,200,000 Chinese people coming to France. It can be tripled, it can be four times, and we intend to develop in both ways. And at the same time, we need to have a better and better, larger and larger political relationship. It means that we pay great attention to what is taking place here. Now, a final comment. We are respectful of what are the decisions which are taken here. We pay great attention to what you are doing. Our view is that the larger will be the economic influence of China in the world, and necessarily the greater will be its commitment to international affairs, because it's very difficult to envisage that you can be the second economic power in the world and to remain very, you know, to have a sort of position of expectation and in terms of international affair. And for instance, two examples of what I'm saying. When we were in Beijing 10 days ago, the president, the Chinese president, told us that the hope of China was to be able to preside over the G20 in 2016. It's obviously an involvement in international affairs. And a second example, maybe you know that France will host in 2015 the great conference about how to fight against climate change. And it's an enormous problem for all of us, and it's a problem for China, it's a problem for Hong Kong. And we have to prepare this great conference together. a success, a necessary success of such a conference cannot be obtained without US, without China, without India, and so on. And therefore, on many issues, we have to work together. And final comment, not only for France, but for Europe, we are more and more interdependent. In terms of economy, we need the development of Asia, but Asia needs a good situation of Europe, because Europe remains the first commercial power throughout the world. And therefore, we have more and more to work together. And in that perspective, France wants to be in the vanguard of this new interest and really deep-rooted interest towards Asia, and particularly towards China.
Keith, you had a question?
Keith Bradshaw, New York Times. In response to the earlier question on Syria, you made the remark, we have evidence, not real proof, but evidence, that there has been use of chemical weapons. By we there, do you mean that France has evidence specifically, or do you mean the West? And separately, how strong do you think the evidence is in terms of not just whether the weapons were used, but that they were used in response to some chain of authority?
On the second question, I cannot say yes. You know, I want to be honest. We don't know exactly in what conditions, particular conditions, this has been used. Therefore, I can answer on what I'm sure of, but not on the second point. On the first point, you know, I'm speaking in English, and it's not my home language, therefore I have to pay attention to that. Probably the accurate word would be hints, not evidence, but hints. Obviously we are checking that. When I say we, it means America, UK, Canada, and France, at least. And we are making our own inquiries in order to know if these hints can be evidences and proofs. It's very important. Why? Because many of us, when I say many of us, I mean President Obama, I mean the Russians, I mean President Hollande, has said that if it was demonstrated that there has been use of chemical weapons, it's a game changer. You remember that?
Yes.
And therefore, we have to be sure of what we know and what we're saying in order to prepare the adequate reaction. That's what I can say.
Thank you.
Over here.
Mr. Minister, C.P. Ho, ION.
Hello.
In your talks in China, do you touch on Taiwan or the disputed islands in the South China Sea? If yes, were there any definitive conclusions that you can share with us?
We did not discuss when I, you mean when we were in Beijing? Yeah, recently we did not discuss about Taiwan, especially. The position of France is well known, and it has not changed. Generally speaking, I can extend that to Hong Kong. We perfectly acknowledge the principle of one country, two systems. There's no problem for us in that. About the conflicts, about the islands, our position is that disputes of that kind have to be solved in a peaceful way and according to the international laws. We don't have to take position in favor of this or that, but obviously we need a peaceful settlement and according to international regulation. We have discussed too, I extend your question, about North Korea. And it's interesting because it's, you know, the hazard of calendars, been able to discuss that with our Chinese counterparts and with our Japanese counterparts as well. And the position we have as France, permanent member of the Security Council, is that obviously it's a menace, it's a risk, and we have to pay attention to that. And we are condemning the provocations which have been made, and the only solution can be a peaceful solution on all the Korean Peninsula. And when we were discussing that with the Chinese authorities, and as well with the Japanese authorities, I've seen a very strong will of getting to a peaceful solution. And we are supporting that, in particular the idea of the meeting of the six elements or bodies which are the most directly concerned by that.
Time for a few more questions. Follow up, CP.
I have a follow up question.
Yeah.
And that is, if the Americans do not back the Japanese under their own security treaty, would France still be in support of American policies in Asia?
I understand, but correct me if I'm wrong, that the American authorities have expressed themselves on the support they will bring to Japan. Therefore, I think we are not in the processes that you have emphasized. And I'm pretty new in the in my own position because it's only 1 year. And 1 year, but it's my it's the 51st country that I'm visiting, and have made 12 times the Tour de la Terre. Therefore, I'm pretty new, but I understand that it's already difficult to answer the questions which are raised, and therefore it's unnecessary to answer the question which are not raised.
Keith, you had a follow-up.
You'd mentioned briefly trade earlier.
Yeah.
In the past year, the Trade Commissioner of the European Union has seemed to take a stance towards greater enforcement of anti-dumping and anti-subsidy rules towards China, particularly the $27 billion solar panel case. Do you think that there is a need for greater enforcement, and what did the Chinese say to you? I imagine they probably complained about the EU's stance on some of these trade investigations.
Thank you for your question. I think the basic element must be the reciprocity. That must be the basic rule, which means that we, Europeans, have to comply with different rules and regulations in terms of public markets, in terms of this, in terms of that, investment, and so on. But on the other hand, our Chinese friends have to comply with them as well. And if there are and when there are barriers, tariff barriers, or not tariff barriers, they have to be cancelled. And we have discussions about that. And as you know, in the European system, many of these discussions are led by the Commission. But our approach is to say we have to be reciprocal. That's the basic rule. And it is true that in certain sectors, and particularly so far as public tenders are concerned, there are a lot of improvements to achieve, not only in this sector, but also in some environmental or social regulations. You know, you can have some sort of protectionist attitude, not directly through tariff barriers, but through indirect obstacles. And we, I mean, as France and Europeans, are in favor of a development of the of commerce. It's the reason why we are discussing that right now, an agreement, free trade agreement with Japan and with US as well. It's not necessarily easy, but it would be useful. Obviously, we have to take into consideration the interest of our counterpart and our own interest. And for instance, some of you have discussed raised a question about culture. One of the points, it's not the only point, but one of the points on which France is really touchy, it's what we call cultural diversity. We think that it's not good for culture to have a sort of uniformity. And therefore, if we want to have a cultural diversity, we have to have a special rules, if I may say so, for culture, I mean audiovisual goods and so on. Otherwise, you will have only one culture, it will be an American culture probably, and it won't be good neither for Chinese culture nor for European or French culture. Therefore, to come back to your question, there are discussions, not necessarily easy, but they are useful, and we go back to our principle, which is reciprocity.
We had a question back here, and then we'll come back to this side.
Hello, Minister. I'm Bowie from Tsingtao Daily. I would like to ask that, do you think Hong Kong is losing its competitiveness in the world economy? And you have mentioned that you would like to have more investment, more Chinese investment in France. Yeah. So will France have any policies to encourage that?
Yes. There is a lot of French investments in Hong Kong. I've told you the figures. More than 750 companies, a lot of the figures in terms of turnover in euros are probably something like 11 billion euros investments, which is large. Now, the other way around, the figures are weaker, and therefore we have to answer the question why and to take decisions. Why? Probably because it was not a habit on behalf of Hong Kong and Chinese friends to invest in Europe. Maybe some investments in UK, but not much in Germany, in France, and so on. Whereas it's necessary because when you are a large power, you have to invest in different countries. How can we help that? First, in showing what are the assets of such investments. I can remind you of some assets of Europe and France in particular. Europe is a larger commercial zone area in the world. France is the fifth economic power in the world, the fourth in terms of investments. one of the highest technological powers. We have large and very well-known brands, excellent training, grandes écoles, and well, our reputation is well known. Now it's not enough. We have to develop the swaps in terms of renminbi and euros. And a few days ago, my colleague, Minister of Economy, was here, and our intention is to sign an MOU with Hong Kong authorities, and more generally, an agreement with China in order to develop these exchanges, because as you know, in the Eurozone, France is the largest financial center, larger than Germany, and we have to insist on that because it's a basis for developing the relationship. Now, if there are obstacles in terms of regulation and so on, our intention, and it has been said very clearly by French president, is to cancel these possible obstacles because we want to have a larger investment, Chinese investment in Europe generally and in France. And last point, which is important as well, we have decided to be more open in terms of passports, in terms of visa for students, for business people, for tourists, and it's necessary because, you know, there is a competition among the different countries, and France has to be one of the most open countries.
We have time for two more. We'll start in the front row and then wind up.
Thank you. My name is Florence de Changier. I report for Le Monde and the French National Radio.
Bonjour.
Going back to Tara's note that the French presence was definitely growing in Hong Kong, I'd like to ask you if you see it as a good thing because France is expanding its network, etc., or if it is a bad thing because France is losing its dynamic youth and it's a bit of a brain drain. Thank you.
The answer is clear. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. In a worldwide economy, you have to be in the world. You can't be the fifth economic power in the world if you are only in France, because you can't expect everybody to come to France and say, please, please, please. No, you have to be present everywhere. And it's a chance. We have more than 2 million French people around the world. Now, it doesn't mean that French people are taking a French leave from France, no. It means that we have to be present in order, you know, to conquer new markets, to bring technology, to bring elements of knowledge, culture, so the world, and particularly in Asia. And therefore my answer is clear. We have to be in the world. Now, your question touches another point. It has been said that some French people are not satisfied with the situation in France and they are going away because of taxes, because of this, because of that. It can happen, have to be honest. But it doesn't mean that we don't want that many Frenchmen could be abroad, because it's a very large asset to be in the world. And at the same time, on the question which is very often raised about taxation and this sort of stuff, it is true that the situation which did exist when François Hollande has been elected was from an economic viewpoint not a good situation, and probably if the situation has been good, maybe he would not have been elected. Therefore, we have a lot of reforms to achieve what we call the economic recovery. It's not easy, it takes time, and as we have found a very important, too important deficit, it has been necessary to raise taxes. It's provisional, it's not pleasant for the people who pay that, but if you want to cut the budget deficit, they're both to be more serious in terms of expenditure and sometimes on a provisional basis to raise taxes. You know my own beliefs. I'm making a plea for the fact that it is only provisional, and we have both to be fiscally serious and to foster growth. And the two main mottos and words for the economy of France now is competitiveness and growth. We have to be more competitive, and therefore a lot of reforms in terms of home policies, and to foster growth at the European and worldwide level. And it comes back to some of the questions I have been able to bring to answers to your questions.
I'm just going to sneak one more in before we wind up with Francis's question. I want to push a little bit more on this getting the deficit down with China. Are you actually, in a way, competing with your Eurozone partners to get more business in China in terms of helping the French economy boost and in terms of that relationship with China? How can it be a holistic Eurozone thing if everyone needs that bit of business?
Let's take the two examples, Germany and France, because these are the main ones. Both of us, we have a deficit towards China. But the deficit of Germany is less important than the deficit of France. And the figures, general figures, are higher with Germany, because the commerce of Germany with China is four times the commerce between France and China. I think there is no contradiction. Why? Because the exports of Germany mainly are made of equipments, high technology equipments, machine tools, cars, this sort of thing. Whereas right now, the exports of France are more in nuclear sector, in Airbus sector, but it's true too with Germany, because Germany is part of Airbus. But now if we come to the future, because it's the future which is interesting for answering your question, you have to bear in mind one figure, which is very important figure. The plan, which has been decided by the new Chinese authorities, is to double, I mean double, between today and 2020, to double the average revenue of Chinese people. Double. And usually speaking, when Chinese authorities set plan, I mean recently, they achieve the goals that they have fixed. Therefore, you will have a double average revenue for the whole Chinese population. It means that the goods which will be consumed will be different to a certain extent. More goods in terms of agriculture and agro-industry products, more goods in ordinary, commerce, sustainable development, services, home products, brands, and on this matter, France is excellent. It doesn't mean that the other countries, Italy, Germany, and so on, are not good. But
I sense a little bit of a competitive note there then.
Yes, why not? You can be good friends and know that there is a competition. And I understand, maybe I'm not correct, that it does exist even in between journalists. Is it right? therefore, all of us are excellent and sometimes competitive. Well, it's the same with European countries.
One more, Francis, and then we'll...
Yes, first of all, let me thank you for coming and giving this press conference in English. I hope it serves as an inspiration to some of our very reluctant Hong Kong officials to do the same.
You mean French officials?
Hong Kong officials.
But next time, when a British, American language official will come, the conference will be in French.
There's a thought. I know you're meeting the chief executive this afternoon, and you did discuss One Country, Two Systems a bit ago. France has a very long history with democracy and has a very good understanding of the definition of the term. Will you be raising the issue of Hong Kong's drive for democracy and the desire for people here to have the kind of one person, one vote, well-understood system of democracy that has typified France for so long?
Well, I know there are debates on that in the perspective of 2017. I'm not a specialist of Hong Kong, but I know that. And therefore, we shall discuss every subject, because between friends, so you can discuss every subject. I will answer the question of your chief executive, he has some, and I will raise some question in terms of economy, in terms of relationship, and so on. And probably this question will be dealt with, but I will listen to him. It's not what you have said is true. We have a tradition of democracy, human rights, and so on in France, and we are proud of that. But we don't have to impose a system. It's not our task and responsibility. But I will be interested by what your authorities will say. And I think everybody agrees on certain principles. Now, as somebody has said, sometimes the devil is in the details. But I will be interested in knowing what are the different views on that. And in my contacts with civil society, I had some contacts here with civil society, it's a question which has been dealt with. The opinions can be different. But already what has been achieved here is Hong Kong in different sectors is really very impressive, and I'm impressed by what I've seen here.
I think we're going to leave it on that note. There may be some follow-up questions if you have a moment after the conference. Thanks very much for coming
generally
to
speaking,
join us.
We, as I was saying in when I was starting, France, are very confident in the future of Hong Kong.
And on that confident note, we will leave it there. Thank you very much, Minister, for coming. And we look forward to seeing you back at the FCC on your next trip.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup. Merci.